just want to look at a couple contrasts. I realize part of this study has took us off a little bit from the waiting, but that's okay. If God tells you to camp in a particular portion of Scripture, you drive in some stakes, and you camp there. So we're camping here because I believe this is a, particularly these families are practical. We have a family church. We really do here. This church is made up of a number of large families for the most part. And it's the family dynamics that appear here can appear here. And how things were dealt with here can be dealt with here. Some good and some bad. And the reason the Lord has given us His Word is to show us, particularly, I do believe that you learn more from the negative than you do from the positive. I mean, you just do. Those are the things that stick. Turn, if you will, back to Genesis chapter 24, and I just want to show you a contrast here to where we are with Jacob and Rachel and Leah. I know what I promised tonight, but I'm going to save that message for Mother's Day. I'm actually going to preach on Leah for Mother's Day. Yep. Amen. Trying to find a couple of these mothers that have gotten a bad rap. Let's turn that thing around a little bit. A Bride for Isaac. That's the title of the chapter Schofield put in my Bible, and it's true. And really, in all honesty, this is a type of the Bride of Christ. Yes. How this was done is a type of the Bride of Christ. The father didn't go. He sent the type portion of it, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And here in verse 12, we find the eldest servant of his house. It says that ruled all up earlier. And he prays in verse 12 and he says, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master, Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. This is a tall order. And I believe when I preached on this, I said that. This is a tall order. Not only does he say, let this young lady that comes out of the city, when I say, let down thy pitcher for a drink, offer him a drink. And that would be enough in and of itself. However, it would be customary during that time to show a kindness to a stranger who has no way to get water out of a well, which is exactly why Jesus asked the woman at the well for a drink, because he had no way to get water out of the well. And it would have been a common courtesy, a common kindness, something that's totally lost in this day and age that we live in, but a common courtesy and kindness to give them a drink of water. And here he asks for that, but then he says, and what are the camels? I don't know how many camels he had, but it's plural. And I think I got into how much, I think I actually researched in that message, and I can't remember now. How many?
10 camels.
10 camels, how many gallons? Like, they can drink a phenomenal amount of water. And I looked it up then, and I knew the amount of gallons. And it would have taken, what was it, Wyatt? I think it was something like that, 40 or 50 gallons per camel, 10, okay? And she drew all that water. So he says, let it be that the woman that thou hast chosen, do this, okay? Do this, and then I'll know
that this is the choice.
Go a few chapters in the other direction. You know where we're going. Chapter 29. Chapter 29. Remember what we just talked about. Okay? Remember Rebekah, the servant, Abraham, Isaac. Remember how the choice was made. It was made with a prayer to God. It was made requesting that God direct. It was made with a very specific request how he wanted God to act to make sure that this was the right person, because this servant did not want to make a mistake. Okay? Now, let's contrast that with Jacob. Okay? Let's contrast that with him. Because he's been sent for a wife, and he waits on a wife, but his choice was flawed. 100% flawed. Why? Look at the contrast between how the other one went down and how this one goes down. And it came to pass, verse 10, chapter 9, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. What's the difference here? In the first one, she watered the camels. In the second one, Jacob takes one look at her and waters the sheep. Okay? There's a contrast here. A contrast. He's operating 100% as he has been since day one in the flesh. Instead of her doing something, he's doing something. In other words, I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. And that's what he does here. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Look over at verse 15. And Laban said to Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall be thy wages? Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored, and Jacob loved Rachel. No mention of God. No mention of God's will. She's the one I want. There was the choice. And Jacob served 7 years. He was willing to wait. I got to hand it to him. 7 years of hard labor. 7 years he was willing to wait. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. At this point in time, Jacob's relationship with God is not the same as it will be in the very near future. It'll change. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days, verse 20, for the love he had for her. And verse 21, and Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. And I guarantee you, he was marking them off on the calendar. My days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and she went in unto him. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaiden. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done to me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? The cheater got cheated. We know that. Okay? And Laban said, it must not be. so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Well, Laban, why didn't you tell Jacob that back when you said you were going to give him to him for 7 years of work? So he cheated him. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast, which thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. It doesn't mean he didn't love Leah. Notice what it says. He loved her more. Listen, he's been with Leah for how long?
7 years.
7 years, man. Okay? 7 years. Now, God's going to fix this situation. This is a messed up situation, okay? God's going to fix this once the law is written down. Ain't no more marrying sisters after the law.
Right.
You've got civil rivalry. You've got sibling rivalry anyway. Two sisters are going to marry the same guy? How's that going to work? Really? And God fixes that. He fixes that very shortly. It's a few years down the road, but God's going to fix that. Particularly when he gives the law, and he's not going to allow that anymore. Because this is a mess, and it's a mess in the Bible. It really is. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and we talked about that, there's many Jewish historians believe that Leah's husband was supposed to be Esau. Oldest son, oldest daughter. Okay? Many, many Jewish historians believe that. Oldest son, oldest daughter. And he said no, because he wanted the daughters of the land. The daughters of Heth. And it says, and when the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You know what? I've seen this enough times in the Bible to believe that it is God. If you have children, ladies, they were a gift to you from God. You didn't do that. Your husbands didn't do that. God did that. God is the one that allowed it. God is the one that gave those gifts. And God gives, and what? There are some times where he says no. And you know what? Don't question God. Yeah. Don't question God. There's nothing wrong with praying and saying, Lord, please, if you see fit, allow me to have children. But God knows when, and he knows who, and he knows when, and he knows why. And he will open a womb, and he will close a womb. And I don't believe that principle has ever gone away. I believe God is the one who's in charge of the wombs. I truly believe that. And I believe we see that principle laid out here in the Old Testament. And when the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Chapter 30. Back to Rachel. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Let me read you something. Envy. To feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. To grudge, to withhold maliciously. Envy, pain, uneasiness, mortification, or discontent excited by the sight of another's superiority or success, accompanied with some degree of hatred or malignity, and often or usually with a desire or effort to depreciate the person, and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. Envy springs from pride
ambition, or love, mortified that another has obtained what one has a strong desire to possess. Envy, rivalry, competition, malice, malignity. Not good. Not good.
I'll tell you what Rachel was.
She was a beautiful, stuck-up snot. She was. She was. And when she didn't get what she wanted, the fangs appeared. Envy. Envy. And I can almost guarantee that almost on a daily basis, she was filling Jacob's ear with something. It's not in the Bible, but that's what envy does. It has to act. It's not something you just hold inside. If you have true envy, you will put it into action. Just like if you're angry long enough, the wrath will come out. You'll act on it. And she envied her sister and said to who? Can Jacob give her children? Who closed her womb?
That's right.
And why did God close it? There's some real character issues here with Rachel. Let me tell you. I think in a lot of ways Leah's gotten the bad rap. Rachel, for some reason's gotten a good one when it should have been the other way around.
And I'll show you all why as we study this. And notice here. Notice what she says. Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children."
She's going to regret, just like Rebecca regretted what she said, "Thy curse be upon me." Okay? And Rebecca never saw her son again.
Another statement made in a moment of emotional passion. Okay? Another statement made in a time of emotional passion. Man, you know what? I've made some stupid statements in my life when I'm upset. When I've been upset, there's been a few times where I've said some things and it was like, at the time, it just felt good. But when I took a step back and saw the consequences of what I said, or eventually reaped the consequences of what I said, it was like, man, I wished I'd have never said that. You know?
Yes.
Look, society's going to get worse and worse. And you know what I catch myself saying? You know, I hate this generation. I hate this society. You know what God may say? Well, if you hate it so bad, then I guess maybe it's time for you to just check out of there. He could. He really could. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. And here, she's wishing for something that she is going to get. She is going to get her children, and she's going to die at the age of 44. All the Bible scholars believe. She was 44 years old when she died. You know what? That's young in Bible times. That's young.
Yep. She says, "Give me children or else I die." Let me show you something. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Want to see another contrast? We'll look at a couple contrasts tonight. I'm sorry, Rachel, but I'm throwing you under the bus tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of, I'm not even going to try that word, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. Man, say that fast 10 times. I can't say it fast once. And he had two wives. Here's another problem. Here it is again. Only this is after the law. Now, these aren't sisters, but I'm telling you right now, when Jesus came, Christianity really is what ended this. Christianity is what ended this. The New Testament dispensation is what ended this. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Why? Because God gave Peniah children, and he didn't give Hannah any children. It wasn't God's time. God had a child coming for Hannah, a very special child that would be the greatest judge that Israel ever had.
Amen.
He had a special child for Hannah. And this man went up to his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord
had shut up her womb. See, there it is again. You can't get away from this, and I'm telling you right now, if God shuts a womb, God's the one that shut it.
It shut.
It shut.
Yeah.
And I don't believe any doctors ought to be trying to open it if God shut it.
That's just my two cents. And her adversary also provoked her sore. She had an adversarial wife, the other wife. For to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. But notice what it says here. Actually, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that Hannah envied Peniah. It simply meant that she was sorrowful and broken and tormented by Peniah. But it doesn't say she envied her. It doesn't even say she hated her. It just said that Peniah made her fret. You're never going to have children, Hannah. And Hannah's like, I just want a child. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord shut her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her every single year. Peniah was on her about this. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse 8. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou?
Man, Dad, you ain't got a clue, do you? Now I'm going to throw Dad under the bus. Why do you think your wife's weeping? Your other wife's making her life absolutely miserable. Where are you? Man, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that, don't you? Whew.
Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat of the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Notice here. Who's she asking for a child? Elkanah? No siree. She don't ask Elkanah for a child. She doesn't say, Jacob, give me children or else I die. She goes to the source of the closed womb and says, Lord, if you be pleased, please open my womb. Please open my womb. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said unto the Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child. Notice here, not only does she want a child, she is willing to have a child and give it back. This is character. This is spiritual character. Man, you can't, listen,
I think Hannah's one of the greatest mothers in the Bible.
Amen.
I truly do. This is real character. Spiritual character.
Wow. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. I will have him and I will give him back to you, God. I'll be pleased to have a child just this one time. She doesn't even ask for more. Guess what Rachel's going to do? We aren't there yet.
She doesn't even ask for more. She says, I'll give him to you all the days of my life. And that's it. That's what she says.
And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. I don't want to get into the whole thing with Eli. But notice over in verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood here by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Asked of who? Asked of God. Asked of God. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Go back to Genesis chapter 30. And the end of that story is God gives her more children. Okay? God gives her more children. But she never asked for them. Why am I parking here? I'm parking here because young people, you better really, really try and get into the character of the person that you're going to marry. What is their spiritual character? Because it matters. It really does. Give me children or else I die. What a contrast to Hannah. What a contrast. And notice, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said exactly what I just said. He goes, am I God? He recognizes this fact. I'm not God. He's the one that's withheld. Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb? So, instead of waiting on a child, this is part of the wait. What does she do here?
She does exactly what Sarah did a ways back. Man, does history repeat itself? Do we make the same mistakes over and over again? Why do I do that? I'm asking myself that. I'm not asking for you. You can ask for yourself. I'm just asking myself that right now. Why do I do that?
Amen. I do.
Why do I do that?
No better.
Because never underestimate the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, we get saved. We think, we're free. You still have the old nature. Flesh is still there.
And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. Now we're going to add from 2 to 3. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. This is an interesting statement. Because I think what she's saying is she's looking at this on a positive light and saying, God has judged me and been favorable to me when I personally believe that God is going to judge her and is judging her here. So she says what God is going to do. All right? She's just looking at it through totally different lenses. God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan,
And the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. How's that sound? Because that's who the Antichrist is coming from. Bilhah's son. Was that a part of God's will? Was Bilhah in the mix? No siree. Let that envy roll. Let it roll.
And she called his name Dan. And then, I'm not going to get into the back and forth that takes place between these two sisters over the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses. This one gives this one's handmaid. This one gives that one's handmaid. Leah starts having kids again. And it's this monster mess over who can have the most kids. Now, Leah has a daughter in verse 21. And I'll bet there were days that Dinah wished she was never born, if you read the rest of that story. And there were probably days where Jacob wished Dinah was never born either. Not because of anything Dinah did. Well, she did have a little bit of a part in it. I don't want to get into that story. Verse 22. Now, at some point in time, Rachel quits asking Jacob for children and does what? Who does she ask? And how do you know, even though it's not here? Read the next verse. Mm-hmm. And God remembered Rachel, and God, what?
He heard her.
Yeah. Amen.
He heard her. See, that's exactly right. That's what she should have done the first time. That's what she should have done the first time. And God heard her.
It says, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb.
Because the first time she asked Jacob for children, God's not obligated to open her womb. And then after a period of time, I guess it started to dawn on her that, you know what? What my husband said years ago, must have been right. Because Jacob said, am I God? You better go to him.
And apparently the light bulb came on. And she did. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph.
Look at this verse. She has a son, and the second she has a son, what's she talking about? Look at it. What'd you just say, Steve? Another one. Is this a content woman? Is this Hannah? No. What a contrast, huh? Between Hannah and Rachel. God gives her a son, Joseph. The only man on the face of this earth that through his entire life, God uses him as a type of Christ. Yes. Only one. Only one.
And that's who Joseph is. And she says,
I want another one right now.
I want another one right now. And 8 years later, she has one. Look over at chapter 35. Now, I don't have time tonight, but I kind of want to get through this.
When they left Laban, Rachel did what? What was the thing you remember about that story? She stole the family idols. Okay? What does that say about her character? Okay? She stole the family idols. And Jacob didn't know it. And he didn't know it even after that. They were hidden. Okay? Jacob didn't know it. And I don't believe he knew it until chapter 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him.
What?
Put away the strange gods that are among you. And who does that include?
Rachel.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They got there somehow. I'm sure some of the servants had them. But you know what? We're never told where she got rid of them. So I wonder about her sometimes. I wonder. Where was she? Did she live her life on the fence? 1 foot in Pandaram and 1 foot in Bethel. 1 foot the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and 1 foot back in her dad Laban's tent. You gotta wonder, don't you?
I don't know.
But he says this, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise. Because notice it says, and Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. So he said it to the house and the servants, because he knew there were problems in both, and he did not want to go to Bethel, to the place where he met God with idols in his house.
Amen.
Because he knew they were there. And my problem is, if she had them and he knew it, you know what? He loved her so much, he let her have what she wanted. That's messed up, Jacob. That's messed up. He let her have what she wanted. And then came this time. And notice in verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. He buried them so nobody else could find them. Look down at verse 16. After they went to Bethel, it says, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoai, which means son of sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Now,
it's amazing how God can use flawed vessels like these.
That's us.
Okay? Because both of her sons are types of Christ. Rachel is an example. As much as I've thrown her under the bus tonight, she is an example of God's grace and mercy in spite of us. Son of sorrow, son of my right hand. He shall be a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And where is he today? At the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for the saints.
Amen.
Benjamin.
Yes. Hey.
But she got her wish.
didn't she? And at age 44, she said, give me children. Well, she died at 44. This was years before. She said, give me children, else I die. And you know what's sad?
You know who Jacob was buried with? Leah. Rachel slept alone. Not that it mattered. I would pray that when all the gods got rid of there and he went to Bethel and sacrificed, maybe Rachel went all in. I would like to believe that. I would like to believe that. You see, Old Testament saints didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we do. So we have no excuse. None whatsoever. You know what we need to do? We need to learn to wait on God, y'all. In every aspect of life. There are times when we act, and then there are times where we just say, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. And give it to God. In Genesis 49, we find where Jacob was buried with Leah. Turn over there, and I'll read that verse, and we'll close. At the end of blessing his sons, let me just reiterate something. In verse 49, verse 17, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels so that his rider shall fall backward. Remember Dan? Here Jacob says at the very end, verse 29, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah's wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah's wife. And there I buried Leah.
I don't know when Leah passed, how many more years she had. We're not 100% sure. But I know this. In the end, Leah actually got her wish. I'll get into more on that detail on Mother's Day. Let's pray.
Lord, again, we're thankful for your word.